everyone, welcome back to the Challenge Global Championships, episode 4. I am Brian Cohn. With me, as always, is my co-host, Alastair Ali. How are you?
Happy Vanpump Reunion Week.
Yeah, happening today or yesterday or 2 days ago, whenever this comes out and you listen to it. Yeah, it's a big time. Oh my God. It's big time.
My favorite, I actually meant to send this to our little chat with Haley Strong and TikTok Nicole on Twitter. But it I accidentally hit send via text instead of copy and paste. It doesn't matter. I sent it to my friend and I got lazy and sent it to somebody via text. But did you see Spencer Pratt commenting on how dumb Rachel is for doing that obviously staged TMZ interview?
Yes. Everyone's in the mix. Everyone's in the mix.
That was the funniest. I was like, our king. That was the funniest review of all of it.
Yeah.
Just like, it's like, I don't think you're cheating, but I'm most mad about this.
Yeah. It's amazing looking back that Faith was like in the challenge world very briefly, but she crossed over.
Gone too soon.
Yeah. Just like like the team for this week, gone too soon. Hate to see it.
Oh, the team. I think said the theme for this week. I was like, I miss a theme. I still have not clocked the intro, and actually halfway through the episode, I thought, oh, I was supposed to pay attention to the intro, but I didn't go back. So I'm closer. I'm getting closer to paying attention.
Next week. Actually, you know, it's funny. I don't think I even noticed it this week. Maybe they dropped it, but hopefully. Hopefully it's still there.
But right before we got on, we said this should be kind of quick. Because, I'm sympathetic to the editors. Not really much strategy to be highlighting here. Kind of a boring, if you will, run-of-the-mill decision being made. But fun challenges.
Yeah, fun elimination, fun daily. Got to see another host. TJ was on assignment, being inducted into the Hall of Fame. Do you think the only reason they brought in the other host was because they knew TJ was going to have to miss a period of time, so they just wanted to have other hosts on standby to bring in? Because it's very bizarre that this is the only time we're seeing one of the other hosts step in, and it was just the Australian one. We didn't even see the UK one come back. I thought it would be both of them at least.
It is interesting to see if that will just be the plan, if each of the other hosts will come every other week, every couple of weeks, and do a daily and a challenge. Also, TJ introduced them as TJ's co-host, which I thought was very strange because none of them are co-hosts this season.
No, that's like when you and Akiva announced the guest as the host. That's just a bit. They're not really, they're like, it's definitely not co-host.
Well, I mean, you didn't need to throw stones at my glass house, but fair enough. A few things to break down. I want to go back briefly to the Kellyanne of it all because, we only really got a shorter segment of John A recounting what happened, saying that Kellyanne screamed at the top of her lungs. And we then get Tristan kind of talking to Zara about I can't control Kellyanne. She's emotionally sensitive. I'm starting now to feel am I missing something? Are they making Kellyanne look better, more sympathetic in the edit? It's sort of giving Amber, where we're hearing that Kellyanne is insane. I know we've seen her fly off the handle many times in the past, but right. I'm not seeing any unjustifiable behavior here.
No, we haven't. We definitely didn't see her scream at the top of her lungs to John A. We saw they did a little montage last week of her going around to different people and frantically being paranoid, but as it turned out, it was very justified that she would be paranoid. So, and I don't even think if she was screaming at the top of her lungs to John A in feeling betrayed, it wouldn't even be unwarranted. It would be very warranted. She got screwed over by a friend. Of course, you're going to be very upset. So I think it's more so the reputation that Kellyanne has had coming into this as being a little, you don't know when she's going to pop off, but here, this was all very warranted. So the reputation, I feel like, is very separate from her actions this season.
Yeah, I think it's definitely something we've talked about last week. It's giving an excuse to justify what you want to do anyway. It's just she doesn't really fit in here in terms of the strategy that her allies want to take. So she's getting clipped and blamed for it. But happy to see Kellyanne live to survive another week. Do you think, just jumping ahead to the decision making, do you think it was Naya based? Is it West based that Kellyanne survives here?
I think it was for sure more West based. I feel like it's one thing to vote someone in as part of a group when it's like everyone's going along with it. I could just go along with it. But when it's a one-on-one decision, it would make sense that West wouldn't target Kellyanne if he had a viable alternative. Now, if there was someone that maybe he was even closer to in, or someone that Zara was super close in, then it could be more of a discussion. But to vote in Jody and Banahad here, it's like that's a much easier move for West to swallow and Zara to swallow than going after Kellyanne.
I mean, it really does show, though, that, you know, we basically speculated last week that the rationale behind Janae's move is, well, the whole house is demanding Kellyanne's head. But Wes here, unless Wes was the main pressure point of Janae, which I don't believe he was last week, now Wes is able to seemingly protect his friend with minimal or no blowback from the rest of the house. They seem to be on board with the vote.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. It's almost like maybe because they had, like, they were tossed in, so they got the blood. So now it's, we could get rid of someone else to get their blood on someone else's hands. I don't know. It's very interesting that there wasn't as much of a push from the house to make Kellyanne be the target. But maybe they also felt like it's not really, although I don't know why they wouldn't feel that it was Janae. It wouldn't be fair for her to make that decision. But maybe they just viewed Wes being closer to Kellyanne than Janae was to Kellyanne.
Yeah, more to come there. Like, again, I went to Janae's Twitter. She hasn't said anything. Like, I just need to understand. Like, yeah, if Janae is going to be on the Challenge podcast, someone at me, I will listen to it. I need to hear even the Monday morning quarterback version that justifies it. I need to hear the explanation.
Yeah, and with the part that I'm confused about, this is also jumping ahead, and I know we talked about this a little bit last week, but Danny is, I feel like he has a mindset that is also is still very Survivor coming into this. I know we had a whole season of the Challenge, but coming in here, his viewpoint of Jordan and Tori, I understand for some people wanting to take out Jordan. And if your rationale is because you don't want to face him in a final, absolutely, totally makes sense. Go after him. But he's looking to take him out from like a strategic alliance building sense, and it's all very confusing how this like rift between the legends and the MVPs, but they're partnered to each other. It's very bizarre how they're setting this up, the fracturing of these groups, but they're all very paired together.
Yeah, I see. I did view it, even though his confessionals are in sort of like strategy speak, I did get more of the sense, at least in the beginning of the episode, that Danny's motivation is he doesn't want to see Jordan and some of these other male legends in the final, which is sort of refreshing because I think that's a complaint we've had about the Challenge proper, which is like these people don't care about going against CT or Bananas or Tori. Like they just want, like, if I'm going to be the most charitable to the legend strategy, it's not only future safety and keeping your friendships, it's also week to week safety. So like, are you prioritizing this person? Jordan's a vote for me and he'll never send us in versus, but then we have to go against Jordan at the end.
Right.
So I like that Danny's thinking this, but I agree. I think the talking points around it are sort of not the right ones. Like she's more loyal to him than me. Like maybe he means like, I want to win, and Jordan being at the end prevents me from winning. And so she's more loyal to her relationship with Jordan and isn't prioritizing a win, but it's not gelling.
No, it's not. Yeah. The confessional of him saying, I mean, it's a very Survivor line. I want to take out this person's number one so I could be the number one, but you are her number one. You're her partner. Like she can't do anything to hurt you without hurting herself unless he like doesn't trust her to make rational decisions with Jordan. And if that's the case, I feel like that should be more of the confessional, but it's just very, very odd that they're spinning it in this way where Jordan's a clear number for you. Like he would never vote you to go in, just like we saw here with Wes and Kellyanne. Like they would protect each other, and I think Jordan and Tori are much closer than that. So it's very bizarre that that's his rationale. Like I totally get it, he should want to go after Jordan so he doesn't have to go in, but like I want that to be more the storytelling aspect, not like I want Tori to be closer to me. Like she's your partner, she can't be any closer to you.
Yeah, and maybe there's like a breaking of the fourth wall issue if he says like Tori doesn't care. Like they did a little bit say like Tori set up last week, like the legends have relationships for years and years, and we need to care about next season and coming back and those continuing those relationships. But maybe it is a little too behind the curtain to say, Tori doesn't need to win. Tori gets paid enough to show up here, or Tori, like, this is her job and the win isn't like her really only motivation. I need to win this challenge,
right?
Make a name for myself, potentially get invited back, or bring the check home to my wife.
Right.
Or it's not worth it.
Right. Yeah. And I would love if they started incorporating that. Yeah. I think that'd be a lot to ask for the show to go to that level of depth to include in the conversations. But that would be a very compelling storyline if they brought it into the show. I don't think they'll do it, especially the global championships. So they're going to break that level of fourth wall. I feel like that's got to be more of an all-stars or proper thing.
I don't want them to do that, because then it's almost like when they start talking about like who called who before the show. Like, I think the challenge sort of rides that line nicely. They don't pretend it doesn't happen, but they don't like make it the whole show. But if I'm just reading between the lines of she cares more about the relationship with Jordan than me, it's like, then my win.
Right.
But maybe I'm just filling in gaps that we don't really know the answer to.
It's certainly possible. Certainly.
Let's talk about Wes. We get sort of a little quick lesson in Wes's strategy here. Although this is sort of the first time it clicked for me how, like, Wes has always talked about his success to camera, like in confessionals.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I don't recall a lot of him bragging about his success outside of the challenge to like relationship build. And it is interesting to see Wes rely on like, I'm in a savvy business man. Like, is he trying to connect, or is he trying? Is that the same as Banana saying, I have seven rings? Like, does he think that gives him some credibility here?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of him trying to like connect and show off, but also he loves bragging about himself. He's certainly not one to not boast about himself. There's like the famous confrontation with him and Bananas when he talks about all of his monster trucks and stuff like that. So he is definitely not wanted to be shy about talking to himself. But the setup for this scene was very funny, because first he was talking about like, oh, my biggest competitor moved to my town and that like sparked me to do better. I genuinely thought he was like saying like, oh, Bananas moved in and that like sparked me to want to like go to the gym more and work harder to be better at the challenge. I didn't realize what he was talking about at first until he started getting much further to the conversation. But I think he is trying to do this to make himself seem smart and try to manipulate in his mind these stupid rookies that'll just follow along with whatever he's saying.
Yeah, I was cracking up. I thought the same thing. I thought he was like speaking in like metaphors about like other people and like his challenge past. Mm-hmm. And I became way less interested when it was about his business. And it wasn't even anything he did. It was he got lucky that another competitor educated the market on the need for both of their services. Like I was just like, okay, like you were in the right place at the right time. I'm confused why that's a brag.
Mm-hmm. I'm also confused about where Wes and Banana stand for this season. Obviously, the last time they were on a challenge together, they were very much working together. They had the joint confessionals and all that. We had the scenes last time of Wes FaceTiming into Bananas and like giving him advice and their buddy. It's not that Bananas was like doing what he used to do with Wes and taking shots, but he was like poking fun. I guess you could do that to a friend, but like to other people, it was like poking fun about Wes. But it's odd. Like there's been no scenes of them together talking about like they are friends, so they're definitely working together. They're not making it very clear where they stand with each other this season.
Well, and I'm just going off memory on this. When Tori said that line to Casey last week, I believe she said if Jordan and Wes touch us, we're done. Or did she say Bananas and Wes? I think she said Jordan and Wes, right?
I'm not too sure.
So it is interesting, like sort of hand in hand with this is like we get a flashback or a flash forward, a preview, aka preview, to next week where Bananas and Tori are talking about needing to take a big swing. And yeah, my immediate question was like, well, who does that mean? Does that mean Sarah and Theo? Because Theo's sort of on not in the American Legends and Sarah is like on Team America, but is pounding the drum to like the Danny drum of like going against the Legends in power. Or is that someone like a Wes?
Right. It's unclear about who each one would be targeting. Yeah, you would think coming in, like, oh, Bananas of West might take a big shot at them early. That's what we've seen them do to each other for years. So it's just odd that they're not making it clear where they stand. But yeah, I don't know who would take a shot at who. Maybe they are now friends, and other people are going to have to take the shot at both of them.
Yeah, more to come on that, hopefully. Moving sort of to Team Argentina, which does set up, I was pretty convinced who was going to go in once we got this sort of back-to-back check-in with Rodrigo and Benja, but we see like a little thing developing with Tori and Rodrigo. I think the camera was trying to make more of this than was happening with like Nye and Jordan, like looking on.
Yeah.
No one was caring about this.
No, I think that was just like friendly, just like teaching someone to dance, just like hanging out. But yeah, I feel like they were trying to make it more of a thing than it was. I mean, look, maybe if Rodrigo had lasted longer, then maybe it could have become a thing, but it certainly didn't seem like anything was blossoming at the moment.
But we do get an update from Naya. You know, I wasn't aware of this, I don't think,
no,
about Naya's health scare.
No, I missed this as well. Very scary. The vaping causing some serious issues. She was in the hospital for at least, it seemed like, an extended period. She was like, obviously, she's doing well enough to be cleared to come on this show. So that's great news. So hope once she's back home, everything's doing well as continued.
Yeah, I was very sympathetic towards Naya, I should say, when she was talking about this and what being here means to her, particularly in light of the health issues. And yeah, I've been hard on Naya, and deservingly so, but this was a touching moment.
Yeah, especially when she, you know, even she had, like, I was like surprised to be called back for the show, and I want to like make the most of it. And I think for a lot of people who've been getting called back year after year after year, it's like almost take it for granted. So it's almost refreshing to have someone who we thought we might never really ever see again in this realm to be brought back in and like really appreciate and want to try to kind of make the most of it.
Yeah, for sure. And then on the flip side, from like a nice moment of teams working together, because I do think Rodrigo and Naya seem to be a good team together, are Benja and Jody, who, to continue the dancing, are like a pair of people dancing where no one's leading. Does Jody hate Benja?
That's like, what it seems like.
They cannot get on the same page.
Yeah, Benja seems like the nicest guy. All he wants to do is like make people laugh and have fun. And Jody just like, it seems like disgusted with him almost. It's just like, can't stand the sight of being around him. Thinks that whatever he's doing is like annoying. It's so bizarre. I mean, it started from the jump when she like was actively trying to avoid eye contact with him when he was making his selection. So like from that moment, she's seemingly never warmed to him as a partner.
Yeah. And they definitely have different styles. Like they got into it, like you're highlighting, they got into it like where he was like, he didn't say have a good time. I forget what he said. And Jody was like, you don't understand the show. Like you can't just like, things don't just match. He was like, it's all going to work out. And she was like, have you seen an episode of this show? So they definitely, I think Jody runs a little bit more of a tight ship and Benja is like, you know, meditating and focused on the good vibes. But I feel bad for Benja. Like, I don't like seeing them sort of at odds.
No, it's edited. And Benja's almost getting the edit that who was the Amazing Race guy from USA was getting during the other Challenge USA, where everyone thought he was like a joke. No one was going to take him seriously as a competitor. And then he jumps into eliminations and it's just like wins, wins, wins. So maybe that'll be what Benja kind of gets going forward.
No, maybe. Honestly, I'm sad to see Rodrigo go. I'm sad that Argentina has been decimated, because it doesn't surprise me that Argentina was so successful. I feel like the four people from Team Argentina have been so like fun and happy to be there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on the older side, and like, you know, I just like, I would like to watch that season.
Yeah, it definitely feels like they were doing a challenge version from like 2005, and they like cherry picked those people and dropped them into 2023. And we're kind of seeing what happens with the large gap in what the show has become.
Speaking of sort of throwbacks, let's talk about the daily, unless there's anything else you wanted to cover from like the first half of the app.
No. Just challenge the daily. So Gates of Hell, this is where TJ reintroduces the Australian host, Brihoni. I'm the worst with names. Brihoni. is guest co-hosting with TJ and this challenge. So it's very much like an action movie type thing, right? They have to run from one side to another with a closing gate. First heat, whoever gets there last is eliminated, and then it does it a few rounds, eliminating teams along the way. The last team remaining wins. They added the little caveat, which obviously plays out, where in the last round, if just whoever was one person gets their first wins, not necessarily the team, the one person can win it for the entire pair.
Which I do think is a little bush league that Wes didn't get under the gate.
Yeah.
Like it was just his, the most limbs underneath. But overall, like the reason I said it feels old school is it's pretty low tech. Like it was pretty compact, but I liked it. It was exciting to watch. Easy to understand, exciting to watch. No complaints. And I also would never want to do it. Like, I don't even like going on an elevator when the door's been open too long, knowing they're going to close soon.
The claustrophobia would definitely freak me out. I was concerned. They clearly put like extra padding and stuff like that, but this just, it freaked me out. Like, what if it closes on someone, they get stuck on their leg and their face or something like that? I didn't know what tech they were using to like keep people safe as the gate was closing. But luckily, I guess Rodrigo kind of got hurt. But other than that, it seemed like everyone else came out pretty okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, Jody got full smush, like a full body smush. So it did seem soft at that point, but definitely scary. I do want to highlight just a couple confessional moments where, first of all, Wes and Zara are like, I think, the cutest in confessional. Yes. They're so funny together. Like, they're an ideal team.
Yeah, no, they're great. I love their dynamic. Wes being the teacher, Zara the protege. It's almost, I would love to, I really hope Zara is someone that can then make a leap into the regular show, because I would love to see like the teacher or the student becomes the teacher type moment with Zara. I don't know if we're ever really going to get that this season with her being attached to Wes. I don't see Wes ever like relinquishing power to her. So I would love to see Zara kind of emerge on her own on a future season and see how she does with like after the Wes tutelage, because I think she could bring a lot to the table as a solo person.
I agree. She's probably, out in front on the short list of people who could make the jump. I think she's making a big impression, I think. Certainly on me. Sounds like on you too.
Yeah, and her speed made a huge impression. She was the winner, I think, or one of the first people in like the first heat to get to the gate. Her speed was pretty impressive. This was, what did it say, 75% heat, and then there was like 10% like mental strength or something. This seemed like 100% speed to me. I don't know what else you could toss in the mix, but how about Theo not winning? I thought, how about Theo not he's an Olympic sprinter. Thought he would do better at this.
Yeah, I mean, so much of it, right, depended on your ability to get out from under the gate as opposed to like a clean start. Like, I felt that way, like towards the end when Wes was like beating Danny in a foot race, I was like, hold on, this like wouldn't happen on like a clean start.
Yeah, it was even great that I feel like if they did this one on the challenge proper, they would have done this in like four different heats, so it would have been like even more confusing. I love that it was just like everyone at once. And it was a little confusing who came in last. That wasn't clear until they announced it. But I did love that they didn't have a bunch of different heats and times and judging off that.
Same. Agreed. It was clean. All right. Oh, the other thing I wanted to say is like an editing choice. I love the wee little talking heads, like when they shrink the confessional down and lay it over what's happening. Like, yes, in the challenge. I really like that.
Yeah, I've been meaning to mention that every single week. I noticed it from the premiere on. I was like, yeah, that's such a cool way to keep the focus on the daily, even do it on the eliminations, but not take away from what's happening and still have confessionals to do it. Yeah, it's fantastic.
But otherwise, Wes and Zara win, which sort of puts to bed the theory last week that potentially Wes is going to be throwing challenges to try to avoid being in power.
Yes, no, that is not happening. He's, or unless they won this accidentally, but it didn't seem like his foot being right underneath the wall was accidental. So he certainly was trying. It was very funny in the last heat when he tumbled and fell and recovered. Amazingly, he was still able to outrun Danny there. But pretty impressive stuff from both of them.
Yeah, we love a cartwheel from Wes. And then Naya and Rodri end up going into an elimination, which I did think it was a little hard to judge who was in quote last place, which right. like sucked a little for Naya.
Agreed. It was like she just happened to be like standing further back than everyone. I almost wish like the first heat was just like just a pure sprint and like more of an open field, and you can clearly see who finished last because it was pretty arbitrary. It was almost like when did they decide to cut off the heat for when it ended? It was seemed pretty odd, but I mean she was last. I mean she was furthest back of everyone at that moment, but it was a little vague.
Yeah, no, I think that's why they show the clip because it's like mm-hmm. it's hard to argue with that clip, but definitely unfortunate. We learned that the house is going to try to go with just the status quo, same teams that have already been in. And this is where I think you asked this early on is like, are we doing the vote the right way? Should the teams only have one vote? Tori says like point blank, I'm sorry to my partner, but this is our vote. As though yeah. It's very interesting to tell everyone else that your partner was against this vote.
Yeah, it's bizarre. And yeah, I don't like the format. And I also, again, don't like the fact that it's the winning team that doesn't get to nominate the two teams. Like it should just be Big Brother style. Like it takes away a lot of the agency of the winning team. And it really puts it all into like the group mentality where, I mean, it seems like US and Australia are really forming this coalition, and there's not really going to be much else anyone can do about it because they're just going to control so many votes. And even if the teams wanted to split up their voting, that doesn't seem to be happening either. So the way this voting structure is going down, it's very tough to kind of make a larger flip. You can need a lot of pieces to have. You need the correct team to lose, the correct team to win, and get just enough votes to get the two teams in so you can get the vote in. It takes a lot of steps to pull off something.
What do you think if the voting power, it's too convoluted, but the voting power alternated by gender? So the men of the team voted in the house vote, then the next week the women of the team voted in the house vote.
Seems a little. I would almost prefer if each partner just got one vote, like each nominate one team. That way you can kind of each still do your own thing without having to come together, but something like that.
Yeah, but it does still feel like the legends would have an advantage over like then it would be like the legends plus the partners that are getting along.
Right.
And same kind of thought behind. Yeah, no, it doesn't actually work for the show, but the idea is the same as like wanting one team to be able to like have power and upset the apple cart is like somehow I want to empower like Danny, Ben, and Sarah to be able to get something done. I just want to see like an interesting counterfaction,
right?
Even if it's amongst their own people, which doesn't make sense.
Yeah, at least there are rumblings of people wanting to flip it. This doesn't seem like something that is going to stick for a while. It seems like there's at least enough people that want to do something that I think something will happen. I think there's a good chance. I mean, honestly, ideally, Jody and Ben Hunt just lose next week, so they're automatically in, so they can't even be one of the teams that are nominated, and then we can kind of see where other people's true alliances might stand when they have to start making some other key decisions. Or Jody and Ben Hunt win. That could be fun, too.
No, I'm saying because what do you think about this strategy? And this is obviously, I'm just pontificating, like, this is a terrible strategy. But what if should Jody and Benha have thrown this elimination? Like, should a team that is almost definitely going to go in? So like next week, Kellyanne and Tristan, they'll be nominated. And unless Wes wins, they'll probably go in. So maybe not Jody and Benha, maybe Kellyanne and Tristan. Should they throw it so that it forces them to have to like make a real move and not just put the same two teams in?
I'll throw the daily.
Yeah. Sorry. Throw the daily such that like, you've got to put more people on the table who are keeping the status quo.
Right.
I don't know what that voice was, but.
That was your air quotes podcast voice.
Yeah. It's a terrible idea, but like, I'm so desperate, even just one boring episode, and I'm desperate to like get a change up.
I mean, the problem is like Kellyanne is still in the mix too. So there really are still two teams that we kind of get the heat. So yeah, I don't know. We kind of just need like, what we need is like Kellyanne's team to win or lose and Jody's team to win or lose. So that way right. They're not in the mix.
Right. It is interesting when Jody, like all of the throwaway votes are kind of sad because it's like, I wish the people who are burning votes could have gotten together and tried to make something happen, but right. I understand there's too few of them. But like Jody saying, looking Tori in the eye and saying, I'm going to vote for Jordan because it'll hurt more than voting for you. Like, I don't think that's true.
Yeah, it's a fun line, though. It's a very good line. But yeah, I don't think I think Tori would be more offended with the vote on her.
Like, they're not currently married. Like, they're exes.
Very much so. Very much so. We also didn't get any more clarification with Jordan and Naya. And obviously we're not going to since Naya is now gone. But I guess they're not dating because I feel like it would have been very clear that they were. So I guess they're just good friends.
Yeah, I mean, well, he was hooking up with Nerys on the last chapter.
Right.
I assume he was single. But yeah, DTM wrote us a question to that effect. Like, why aren't they acknowledging it? Like, even I'm just summarizing, sorry. But it's basically like, it makes it seem like it was even more of like a redemption tour that they like paired up and like faked a relationship to get back on the show together. I mean, whatever it is, they're clearly close. Like, I think they have a legitimate friendship at Min.
Yes. Yes, I would think so, for sure. That would be tough to be faking all this time.
But all right, we get to the elimination. I did love that they not only told us that TJ was at getting inducted to the Hall of Fame, but that they showed like little clips of his speech.
So nice, good for TJ. Certainly well deserved. I mean, I think so. I've never really seen a single clip of him doing anything BMX related, but I would imagine was incredible in his career. I'm just waiting for when like they do reality TV hosting Hall of Fame. Then he should be. Then I would be able to give a ringing endorsement of that. But I'm sure his BMX talent was top tier.
Most date night TJ we've ever seen him.
Yeah, it was. I don't know why they did the edit. Like they only showed like 30 seconds of his speech. Did they have to show him like stumbling over some words? They couldn't like edit that out and make it like a little bit cleaner. I don't know. It seemed odd.
That's him though. He does it off the cuff. It's what does.
I guess so.
Here too. He's a little nervous. It's humble.
I like that he walked off doing his like typical like a hand, like a thumb and pinky out like shake thing. The TJ send off.
Well, Chaka.
Is that what it's called, Chaka?
I don't know. I don't remember what he did, but is that like when they like the hang loose sign?
Oh yeah. Hang loose. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, sure. Good for TJ.
I did do a top three reality TV host blog when I was in college and I just pulled it up. TJ got an honorable mention. It's very of the time because number three, I gave to Jenny McCarthy for hosting Love in the Wild.
Oh, wow.
Regret that.
Yep. Was Probst on the list?
Probst was number two. Can you guess number one?
What is it, like Simon Cowell or something?
It's RuPaul, which I stand by.
There you go.
Honorable mentions to Gordon Ramsay, which I really do stand by about that. I wrote that he built a genre around himself, and I think that's true.
He did. He did.
I had TJ and then Julie Chen, also regrettable.
Mm-hmm. Julie Chen,
you can put up there. Painfully awkward.
Yeah, I was saying Julie Chen, you can put there, but Julie Chen Moonves, you take off.
This is such a read. Big Brother host Julie Chen is lovably and painfully awkward when she tries to corral a bunch of crazy BB house guests. However, juggling the difference between speaking to the house guests and speaking to the viewers sounds easier than it is and is impressive enough to earn her an honorable mention. So basically, I'm like, because she's able to manage the tech, she can be on the list, but she stinks otherwise.
Is this for the Northwestern paper? Is that what you did this for?
Yes.
Wow.
Let's see what I say about TJ, and then I'll stop being self-indulgent. I love MTV's The Challenge. Well, here we are. And to me, TJ Lavin is the little host that could. He's reserved and at times confused, but he never hesitates to rip on the contestants for not giving their all in the challenges, which is usually exactly what I'm thinking from my couch at home.
There you go. That's right on point.
Big ups. Mm-hmm. I'm consistent, baby.
Yep.
That was 11 years ago.
Wow.
I'm doing nothing different.
So we did have a night out. Before the elimination, not much really happened, but they were out. So
yeah, so what?
People were out. There were drinks being had. Not much discussion.
Well, my high school English teacher wrote on my one of my essays, so what?
They just need to like have Love Island people on standby just to be dropped in for the night out, and just so they can be dancing and partying and like trying to get things going, because this crew of people doesn't seem to be the party crew, especially now that we're knocking out the Argentinian people that seem to be more of the fun crowd. I don't think Sarah and Ben and these people are going to be dancing up on tables and causing chaos at a bar anytime soon.
Yeah, we need like Cash and Shannon like shaking ass.
We need it. But, all right. Yeah, so that was anyway, it before the elimination.
Yeah.
Straightforward. Even I think Wes said this was like the easiest decision he's ever made on the challenge, basically. Votes in Benha and Jody, and they are competing in Oiled Up. Another very simple challenge, but I thought pretty good. You have to collect buckets of oil, race it up a platform, and dump it into a bucket till it gets to a certain level.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I think the challenge highlighted what's interesting about it, I think, which is like, you know, as you spill and struggle, you're going to make it more slippery for yourself. And that was like kind of fun to watch. My heart goes out to Rodrigo, who really like was taking a beating this whole episode physically. Yeah, it was hard to follow who was winning, I thought, but otherwise.
That I agree with. I wish they kind of had like in the bottom corner, like a bucket tracker to kind of see who was moving up. I also thought it was almost a little too easy. I kind of wish like the buckets had holes in them or something like that, or maybe the buckets were smaller. It didn't seem to be that long lasting of an elimination. Obviously, it's hard to judge that on an edited version, but they didn't seem to be overly exhausted at the end of it. So I kind of think there could have been extra things that they could have done to make it a little more challenging to complete.
Yeah, I agree with that. But
we lose Rodrigo and Naya. Very upset. Benha and Jody win. Back in the house. And that's Argentina's down to one. One team left.
Okay, so they talked a lot about that, and I think we've talked about this, but like, is there going to be any benefit to the or significance to the countries? Like, I think they just like it as talking points. It's like when they say rivals or vendettas, they like to say the theme, but like, it really doesn't matter. You're like, who your legacy is close with or legend is close with is more relevant.
The only thing that I like is, like, this is what I've kind of felt about some prior challenge seasons, is I have a very simple brain, and I like when there's easy things to help connect people. And for a lot of like the new people, I would kind of forget who knew who. So the fact that they're always talking about like their country and who they're with, it helps remind me of who like the new people's connections are. I already know who like the legends and obviously some of like the survivor people are connected. But for some of the new people coming in, it does help my brain kind of lump them together.
Yeah, that's fair. Like when Grant was like, oh, the US and Australia is making a really good like bond. I just, when they're like, oh no, like Team Australia is going to be I can't go against Team Australia. Yeah, I mean, it's nitpicking, but it's like seemingly not going to be relevant at all beyond a source designation.
Yeah. Yeah, other than that, other than just like easier for alliance purposes than like having to list like eight teams for a US and Australian alliance, you can just say US and Australia. It helps a little bit for shortening confessional links.
From the social media and questions department, we had an outpouring of people writing in about how they came to the challenge, as we called a call to action last week. I've left them in the doc for you to read. A lot of people had a long story. Some people texted on Twitter, some people wrote in. So I'll leave it to you to do your own research on that.
Just me.
They can't go. First of all, I mean, you and I asked for it and it's in our question doc.
That's true.
Yeah, so a surprising amount of people enjoyed got into the Challenge USA because of like Survivor and liked it and caught up on a few seasons and then started here or just came directly here. And we're happy to have you. Love that. It's working.
Welcome aboard. You'll never have more than 2 weeks at a time without a challenge season. So be prepared.
Anything else? That's it.
All right. You can subscribe. Rob has a website.com/challengefeed. You can follow me on Twitter and TikTok, I guess, at @CohenBryan_. I know I said this last week, but I need to start doing more TikToks. I don't know. I'm also like, I kind of want to like wait to get more invested into it, unless TikTok is about to be banned and removed from all of society. So maybe I'll wait to see how that plays out before I jump back into making TikToks. But you can follow me there.
I think you need to seize the day. Time is of the essence.
I know, but if they're about to be ripped off the face of the planet, I don't want to like come up with new things. I don't think it's going to, but you never know. Where can they follow you?
At Lash Tweets, you can check out New Girl Old Guy with the great Rourke Luskin this week. Anchor.fm/New Girl Old Guy. What do you think, Brian? Which character from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory do you think Akiva is?
I gotta be honest, I think I've seen Charlie and the Chocolate Factory maybe once in my life, so I don't even think I can name another character besides like Willy Wonka and Charlie.
Okay, fair. Well, we had a little discussion about that on the podcast this week, and then I'm not even going to plug the podcast I did with Chester and Dr. Amanda and Akiva, so don't look at that.
It's crazy. I know it's like still kind of far away, but like you're just about done with season four, and I know like isn't the last season like only like 10 episodes or something? So you're like not too. It's like coming up. The end is in sight for New Girl.
The end is in sight. We said that about season four, that like this was the season that was going to be the Wednesday of your vacation. That feels like, yeah. Oh my god, now the week's almost over. It did take us an eternity to get through it, but yes, we have one more episode of season four. Then we'll do a jar, which is where we watch a movie for anyone who's not listening. Well, I guess if you're not listening, you don't care about it. And then we only have
it's like 50 episodes left.
5 and 6, and then 8 seasons of season 7.
Yeah, so that's like, it's like, yeah, 20, that's probably less than, so you got less than a year. You got like a year. You might be this time next year, you might be at the finale.
Oh my God, I thought it was so much shorter. And then when you called it a year, I'm like, Jesus Christ. It feels like it's almost over, and that's like, this takes forever.
Wow. There you go.
But I'm proud of us that we haven't given up. We haven't been consistent, but we haven't even considered stopping it, which is shocking, considering we started this with like pandemic amounts of time.
Right.
And now it's harder to work in. He was working remotely full time. Like, so much has changed.
So much has changed. Yeah.
I do want to flag that the Tennessee Florida Atlantic game is a 4-point game.
Yeah, by the time people listen to this, the game will be quite over. But yeah.
Just flagging for my own purposes. And Gonzaga's getting whooped. So it's going to be very interesting.
Big whip. Okay. We'll be back next week for episode 5. Until then, have a good one.